Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. We've got a very special guest for you. Before we get to our guest, folks, tradingpostinthewoods.com. My daughter is looking for a remedy for something today. And I got to tell you, she found it at tradingpostinthewoods.com. Tradingpostinthewoods.com. Visit tradingpostinthewoods.com where you can find an array of old-time, old-fashioned remedies that work, including and especially American Heritage Remedies Kit made especially, or in some cases, especially, made especially for the Hagman and the Hagman Report listeners. Folks, go to tradingpostinthewoods.com. Their products are second to none in terms of their medicinal value or their, remedy value. You know, the old time stores when you used to go into, well, I'm sure you didn't. Maybe I did. No, my grandma did or whatever, where you had elixirs. You had, granny tonic. Think of Beverly Hillbillies when, you know, the old song. Spring tonic, but this isn't quite like that, of course. No, this is much more researched. This is a family business. This is a business where the principals actually, their experience, they have so much first responding experience in major disasters, minor disasters, and they created these special remedies kits just to have on hand. And I got to tell you, they work. They work, whether it's a sore throat, stomach, cold, whatever. I can make these claims. I'm not selling anything. They work on us here at the Hagman and the Hagman studio and the Hagman households, plural. Go to tradingpostinthewoods.com, tradingpostinthewoods.com. Get these in your pantry right away.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got a fantastic guest lined up for you tonight. The host of Remnant Radio Network and friend of Ross Powell, Mr. Chris Bacomb. Welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Yeah, is that how you pronounce your last name? We were arguing about that.
It's pronounced Bacomb.
Bacomb. That's Bacomb. Easier.
Okay.
It is.
Yeah, okay. See? Yep. All right.
I get that a lot. There's some of us in Texas and some of us in North Carolina. It's kind of a localized name in those two states.
Well, Chris, if you can, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're involved in the media. Also, you're involved in ministry. Give us a little bit about your background and what you're doing.
Yeah, so my latest journey is with Remnant Radio Network with Ross Powell, and we've been doing that since, I would say, last October. However, the journey there was long and sometimes arduous. I had a primarily business background with some marketing and then got into the digital space over the course of about 5 years and had a calling. And I looked to the skies. I didn't really have a devotion to God at that time, but I looked to the skies and said, if you're there, give me some guidance. And he sent me on a journey out of Charlotte for writing. And I took a position in South Florida with a company that primarily deals with faith and evangelicals. Big evangelical organizations, and specifically with some of the politicians in Washington on the conservative beat. And by assuming that role in the digital space, I kind of grew fond of the conservative viewpoints and began to adapt them for myself and began to kind of merge over into that, seeing the value there over everything else. It seemed to have more purpose and meaning behind it. And so I went to prepper camp up in North Carolina in the mountains. And that was approximately 7-8 months ago, and met Ross Powell, and we decided to hit it off, and we've been going ever since. Now, in that journey, I was a paramedic for about 7 years in the city of Charlotte, and learned a lot about emergencies and took up the survival training and learning over the course of about a decade. I'm still learning. I don't know everything. And the further this has progressed, of course, we've gotten into the geopolitical space over the past, I would say, year with the elections, and we dealt with some of that in the organization I was with. I'm no longer with them. I'm on my own now. But that's kind of my history.
Okay. And you host, you're a host on the Remnant Radio Network, correct?
Yes. The Remnant Radio Network is all about getting the word out there to the watchmen on the tower and letting people know, screaming from the rooftops, to get ready and get prepared for some of the potential catastrophes that face us. Of course, we'd all like to live in a world that felt like Disney, but that's not what's going on. That's not the writing on the wall. And so we've taken up the duty to go out there and preach the ministry and also bring in different guests that have backgrounds in different survival areas and news, authors, and other people to try to really grab as many people as we can and bring them into the fold. It's not for fame. It's not for celebrity. It really is just for the mission at hand, which is to try to help people save their souls and get back on the right side of the tracks here and help the country out.
And folks, there's a website, remnantradionetwork.com. Go there and bookmark that site. Also, homegrownprepper.com, where I'm reading here, you share a knowledge and experience with my father as being a paramedic, an EMT.
Correct. I did not know that.
Yeah. Oh, fun. That was in another life. That was, before you were born.
Yeah, it's something you never forget, that's for sure. And it certainly gives you perspective. I think it's good to step back from it. When you start thinking that, hey, that's not my emergency, you got to go. That's kind of where I got.
Yeah, so, yeah. And, you know, you find yourself carrying appendages around with you, you know, looking for the other body parts. It's a little bit, it does something to you a little bit, I think. But you know, okay, and I'm going to introduce this, and now I'm going to kind of stand back. I just want to introduce this segment by saying that I spoke to Dr. Ted Brewer today, and boy, he was on a tear. He was on a tear about the FDA's, Trump's pick to head the FDA's, Dr. Scott Gottlieb. And he talked about this on Friday's show. And about the vaccines, the big connections to Big Pharma, the fact that there's this battle in neuroscience. And I think this is right up our guest's alley. So I'm going to kind of toss it to you, Joe, and just step back from this and just listen, because I want to hear where this goes.
You want to start there with the vaccines?
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Yeah, we can start with the vaccines. It's kind of a personal story for me. And if you guys are ready, I'll share.
Absolutely.
Lock and load.
Yes, yes. So I have a niece that was a very normal, at least cognitively normal child, was running a bit behind on her vaccines. And one thing led to another. Of course, she went and got her vaccines, and actually it's an in-law niece, so it's through my wife's family. At any rate, she came home from her exuberance of vaccination shots and ran a fever and went to sleep that night and woke up the next day and was never the same. This happened in the blink of an eye. And we didn't know it was autism at the time. We just thought, you know, maybe she's got a cognitive impairment. And of course she did. We did come to find out it was autism that she had. And, she's, you know, been a challenge for my sister-in-law to take care of. Quite stressful, not because she doesn't love her and give her all the care that a mother gives, but just the constant need and the constant challenges of learning. And I also have a niece with another brain disorder that's genetic and hereditary in our family that's terminal. So I have a real sense here, and I don't blame that on environmental factors at this point, but a sense that this is an impending problem, because we have a community of corporations and a government that are complicit in the idea that you can put food product out there with known problems and put vaccinations out there with known problems, then, you know, escond the data that would give us real information to measurably decide whether vaccines were good or bad for our children, and then allow us to vaccinate our children, and not only allow us to vaccinate them, encourage us and make it illegal if we don't, or penalize us. And in this way, this is a liberty that they should not have any levity to control until we can do further investigation. Now, when we confronted her doctor about this, Of course, the doctors really, I don't know that I blame them for what they're doing, because they're getting the data and they're processing it and they're busy and they've got a lot of things going on. I think they should care. However, I was handed a document that showed that this was in fact debunked and it was not the case. Now, it's just really hard to argue that when you look at some of what's going on out here. I know you guys have had the guest Jim Mars on. You had him on recently, and he goes into depth about that a little bit as well. And so we'll kind of get into some of the statistics here and what's so alarming. I don't know how many in the public know that, but I just wanted to share.
Yeah, you know, speaking of statistics, when we had Dr. Ted Brewer on Friday, he, what is it, 1 in 67 children now will have autism, I think are the statistics now. And I think he said by at this pace, by 2030, all boys, or maybe it's 2050, all boys will have autism.
Yeah, it's going to be just so incredible.
All girls, everybody will have autism by 2100, apparently. It is just mind blowing. It's frustrating. It's something that, you know, makes me very angry.
Yeah, and people should be angry about this. I don't care. You know,
I mean, because it's to the point where it's gotten in the vaccine research. There's even been cover-ups from the companies stating that they know as much, that they know the vaccines are harmful, yet they continue
to push malicious.
The extra additives that are put in the vaccine. I mean, there's things that are put in there intentionally just to cause harm. And with the autism rates, it's so, when you think of all the poor children and the parents who are dealt those hands, not because it's something that God intended, but because they've been poisoned, you know, through the chemical lobotomies known as vaccines. Just a quick side story. I had a friend, he has three brothers, all of them are in the army. Before they were deployed, you get shots, you get your vaccines or whatever, and the nurse puts a band-aid over where you get your vaccine, and one of his brothers got the shot, didn't get the band-aid. Before he was put on the plane to be deployed, they made him get another shot. He dropped right there, was paralyzed for the rest of his life directly due to this shot. That's just one small example. But if you can go over some of the statistics, because it's very alarming.
Yeah, this is your time, sir.
Definitely. Well, there's a lot related to this, and we'll get into some of the things going on with our elderly and some of my own experience as a paramedic after we kind of get through some of these statistics with children. You are right. It is 1 in 68. I think in California it's 1 in 54 at this point. Now, that's up from 1 in 150 in the year 2000, and that's 120% increase. And then in the 1970s, it was 1 in 2,000 children. And opponents of these theories point to higher rates of diagnosis as the reason. So they're just more of them getting diagnosed is what they're officially writing for the public. And I've seen that in scientific journals. And that doesn't exactly solve the problem. Now, you know, the movie Vaxxed came out, and I'm sure some of the audience got a chance to see that before it was pulled. And they covered the idea of unvaccinated children and looking at them. And I believe there was an article by Age of Autism, I'm sorry. And it was from a group of people that report on this. And these medical services provide medical care for these families who choose to have home births and avoid vaccines in specifically the Chicago area. They've treated around 35,000 of these children over the years. And Home First Medical Director, the late Dr. Meyer Einstein, said in an interview a few years ago, "I don't think we've had a single case of autism in children delivered by us who never received vaccines." And that's amazing. And if we kind of dig a little further, we see the same thing in the Amish country. Of course, you guys are in Pennsylvania, so you know well about this. Many of the Amish are unvaccinated. I would say most. Do you want to jump in?
No, go ahead. No, sorry about that. You're just on artifact of back room dealing here. But no, you're right. If you look at the statistics, which are not kept, do you have statistics on the Amish at all, sir?
I do. I have. Well, when they measured the Amish in Pennsylvania, they didn't find any. When they measured the Amish in Ohio, they found 1 in 15,000 a reported autism case.
Wow.
Okay. Compare that to the normal population. So, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
So we have to understand a little bit about what's going on in these vaccines. I know they've outlawed Tamiflu, even though there may still be supplies in the chain. I doubt it. At this point, they've expired. But if you start with the idea of vaccines and aluminum, aluminum causes encephalitis. And for anyone that doesn't know what that means, that's swelling of the brain. And that causes a brain injury, which they think may lead to autism. And there are mutations. There's a specific mutation that occurs in about 30 to 60% of our population. It's a metabolic disorder. It makes it extremely difficult to detox the neurotoxins put into vaccines. So up to 98% of the children with autism have this mutation. And what that tells me, just being a paramedic for so many years and having a biology degree and understanding the pathophysiology of the body, you understand that when disease process takes place, it's generally an issue of swelling. Something is edematized or swollen in the body that's causing a problem, whether it's high cholesterol, whether it's high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer. I mean, we can go down the list here. All of them are a direct result of some type of inflammation in the body. And the body has an immune reaction to that, and sometimes the immune reaction is far too strong, and it can actually kill you. You know that. It's called anaphylaxis. And what we're seeing here is almost a form of cerebral genocide. This is causing these children to break down, and we don't know whether it's intentional or whether it's, you know, unintentional at this point, just for pure profit. But I think we can make the argument at this point, there's so much wealth at the top of the ladder, if you want to call it a ladder at all, throughout the world, that at some point they're converting their useless fiat cash over to gold and other hard assets, and they don't need the money anymore. So what is this about? What's going on here? And that's really, in my case, that's what I'm trying to dig into and find out.
Okay, go ahead.
And, you know, when we think of the numbers, you know, going back to, you know, the Amish and the different groups of people that don't get the vaccines, and you think of anything from flu shots to vaccinations being given by children. Think of the hard times parents have trying to save their kids from getting these vaccines. Whether it is in the school systems, you have to have, you know, basically a religious exemption, and even then you're not guaranteed to be allowed to have your kid go to school if he doesn't get the vaccine. Another example of this without vaccines, there was an article yesterday about the Child Protective Services taking a 7-year-old boy after their parents refused to give the child ADHD drugs. And it's the same mindset. You know, these people are forced, they want to force these children to get the vaccines. And one thing that I find, you know, and it's a very good argument, is if everybody has vaccines, you're vaccinated against the chickenpox, we'll say, and one person isn't, and he gets the chickenpox, shouldn't the people who are vaccinated, you know, be safe from getting it? Meaning the worry should not be, there shouldn't be this big worry. But we see when the government gets involved
on that point, if all of those parents who want vaccines get their children vaccinated, that does not or should not, in theory, pose those children or those parents of the children who are not vaccinated should not pose a threat to those who are vaccinated.
Right.
Is that a correct statement?
That is correct. That is exactly the argument there.
So why are they complaining? Well, why would the parents of the vaccinated children be complaining about anything? In fact, they would be celebrating the idiocy of the children of the parents of the children who don't get the vaccine, saying, hey, good, you don't deserve to reproduce. We're better than you. We got the vaccine. I mean, that, I guess, you know, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Yet they force the agenda onto the people, the parents that refuse the vaccines. What's up with that?
It's a sad state of affairs, and if we look at the breakdown and we kind of get a little deeper into the breakdown of our society and the moral backbone, which is the family, we keep getting a little deeper on this, and we get to the point where we're at almost a neurological warfare, which is something that I definitely want to talk about shortly. But to understand, you know, we really need to examine why anyone or entity would want to destroy the emotional centers of children's brains. I mean, what would their real purpose be? You know, what are you trying to turn children into robots? Are you trying to create a future with people that may produce, on occasion, a rare genius with Asperger's syndrome? I mean, we've known about Asperger's for quite some time. And what happens to the rest of the people in this group or this cohort? You're making people unable to learn about or connect with their religious values, and to create a need for permanent care and investment in these people. And they use a patchwork of pharmaceutical treatments that don't stop the problem. They just mask the symptoms where the kid maybe is screaming and making a lot of noise because something irritates them. And I know, because I responded to some of these calls years ago for autistic children, that for all the wonder of modern civilization, the war on our children is the greatest crime we're facing today. And worse are the people who believe we should naively move past these known carcinogens and inflammatory agents and vaccines and foods that are poisoning us. You know, the devil's always in the details, and I repeat that. The devil is always in the details, and your vigilance is the only way you're going to protect your children and not be distracted by this great distractor that we're dealing with, this dark force, I call it. So many of the opponents are the same people that advocate abortion at any cost. They don't need to lead the world in bioethical decision-making, in my opinion.
Well said. Yeah, and you're exactly right. And, you know, some people don't know this, but there have the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program paid out over $3.5 billion to parents of children injured or killed by vaccines.
An acknowledgement of guilt.
Exactly. They have covered up, they've been caught covering up the fact that their vaccines are related to autism. And we know that vaccines have chemicals such as mercury, aluminum, and many, even foreign DNA in some cases.
Why?
There's two issues with IC here.
Yes, they're putting viral components in there to carry certain components in this. And
it'd be one thing. If it was I'm sorry to interrupt. It'd be one thing if it was just the medicines that are used to prevent the diseases. But why all the additives? Unless they are being done for nefarious purposes.
They discovered in a recent test, and this was done in Europe, they ran a series of tests and found that the vaccines that they were giving the animals did not have these harmful components in them. Only the ones they were giving the humans with the extra viruses. I think this has been covered on some of the Alex Jones episodes and some of these other guys out here, but it all depends on where you stand on your belief system. But if they're putting viral components, splicing is what they call it, where they put a virus in and they add some DNA inside of it to have a certain effect or a marker or to bypass a certain mechanism at the cellular level, what is the purpose of that? It's not an adjuvant at this point, and it's not going to help. And if for our listeners, an adjuvant is something that helps catalyze and push forward faster the effects of the vaccination inside the human body. That's the goal of it, at least, to create more immune response to quicken the to quicken the body's buildup of immunity. That's what the goal
that
is.
That works. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a poor way of saying it. That's exactly what it does.
Well, actually, that was pretty on target. Let me ask you before, by the way, we're going to skip the bottom of the hour break again with thanks to Global Star Radio Network. Let me just ask you this question, and then you can pull back and go in any direction you want. What in the world is Donald Trump thinking putting Gottlieb in as the head of the FDA, pro-vax guy, pro-vaccine guy? Everything that's wrong with the vaccination issue and the health issue, Gottlieb's in there. What's going on here? Again, Dr. Ted Brewer, who was our guest Friday, was just beside himself. So, can you shed any light on that appointment? And, I mean, if not, that's fine. I was just curious if you know, what your thoughts might be.
You know, I'm beginning to question a lot of his appointments, speaking more broadly, because I can't speak specifically on that particular person. But I can say that after we've watched this latest debacle with Syria, which was covered in a show the other day, I joined with Stephen Mencken, you know, I'm not really sure what Donald Trump's doing at this point. He's either playing some mad chess, or this guy is off on another planet, or he's one of them. And you know what I mean by one of them.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the people that we're most concerned about, and I'm very concerned about what Trump's been doing and who is around him. And although I reserve judgment, I don't want to jump to conclusions at this point because I can see some of the validity in what he did. There are far too many of the swamp monsters jumping on board with his decisions, and I don't know if this is a revelatory plan to help bring them out from the swamp and show who they really are. I don't know if this is backdoor dealing, and I'm digressing here a little bit, but it's just, you know, laments on the point that you're making with Syria. You know, what are you thinking, man? We're looking at potential war here. I mean, we've got things going on over in Asia right now. The world is shaking up in the Middle East, and this is exactly the opposite of what we were hoping for with your presidency. So I, you know, to anyone out there, please write and let him know that, mm-hmm. that this is unacceptable. This is, if you're doing something like that, we understand that you said you don't want to announce to the whole world what your plans are. But, there's a lot of people out here that are turning coat, and, it's getting pretty scary, especially with all the other potential catastrophes that could unfold. Not as a direct result of this, but definitely as a direct result of this as well.
Very interesting. Mandatory vaccinations. We know that there is a big difference between, you know, there's no federal mandatory vaccinations, only the state mandates the vaccinations. But each child...
Wait a second, is that true?
I don't believe there's federal...
No, it's a state by state.
Yeah.
Okay.
Federal, they can recommend it, but the state are the ones that make the laws. Do you believe that we'll see mandatory vaccinations in the future?
I do. I think that we're going to see an attack on our continued attack on our children and the elderly. And, you know, I tend to be a little conspiratorial with this, but I don't know that it's so conspiratorial when it's in your face. When we look back at what Rick Wiles did with True News here recently with his attendance of the cellular conglomeration in Barcelona, Spain, and studying the assimilation of this global brain that they're putting together, the cellular companies with the central nervous system and launching these low orbit satellites, which I probably live an hour away from where they're building those. And we look at the hoarding of information up in Norway with the Doomsday Vault, and we look at the attack on the elderly. I think it's an attack either through some type of poisoning that all these people are showing up with dementia and Alzheimer's. 5.1 million Americans, that's the estimates right now. That's a catastrophe. I mean, even 10,000 is a catastrophe, but 5.1 million and then one in every, now 54 out in California, one in every 68, you know, nationwide are with autism, and all there's left is what's in the middle. So there seems to be an effort to take the innovative and creative energy and knowledge of, as I said in a previous podcast, they've mined the ground for everything, but they're mining the mines. They're looking for the information inside of our head, and there's a lot of incredible technology that's going on that's being turned over in a malicious way. What in the world is going on? Why are they so determined to get the information out of our heads and control what we think? Well, I think it's obvious at this point that's what's going on, but why they're attacking the children, I don't know if they're just planning on dumping everybody off and getting rid of everybody if they know things we don't. Your previous guest has just been an amazing person expanding on the ozone layer and what's going on around the world. It's almost a death wish.
Yeah, it is.
It's true.
Go on. I just lost my train of thought. But
so this is a lot. There's a lot in here. This is a big set of topics. I understand.
All right.
you were talking about being on the conspiratorial side. Now, hypothetically, do you think there's any chance that there is? I mean, we know that there's a lot of additives and things that should not be in the vaccines in there. What would be the possibilities of some kind of dormant microbe that is injected in through the vaccines, maybe it's put in our water supply, that when another agent would introduce itself to our bodies, it could activate some kind of to create a mass die off,
like a reagent. You know, yeah.
Good call. Yes, reagent. There's been some interesting proposals over the last few years because for 25 years there's been a focus on beta amyloid as the primary cause of Alzheimer's, this plaquing up inside the brain. And realistically, what they're at least some people are starting to speculate is the beta amyloid is roughly, and excuse the grotesqueness of this, but it is roughly essential. It's roughly similar to a pimple in the pus that builds up. It's what's left over after your immune system has attacked this localized sore or problem you have. And so they're treating potentially the wrong thing here. And they've got to get after the right proteins to really stop this process. Now, in the case of my niece, who, not the autistic niece, but the other one has Sanfilippo syndrome, that is a fatal disease for children. In fact, I think nationwide we lost 6 last week, at least in the network that we were in. And it is a process where the waste system inside the brain can't dispose of the waste. And so the waste builds up in the brain and then eventually goes to the organs and the child shuts down. It's a very painful way to die. And there are some good treatments that are coming along that potentially cures. But it is somewhat similar in this case because cellular debris builds up and then, of course, the neurons get surrounded and die. And so we've got to focus on the very wrong thing. But to your point about immunology and to your point about injecting a microbe, this takes us down another rabbit hole, and that is that as we continue seeing the focus on the wrong thing, it's not solving these people's problems at all, and I'll get into some of that here in just a moment. We also see the revolution in nanoparticles and what's going on in the scientific community with genetic engineering and reprogramming of cells. And so if you think about nanoparticles, and the very essence of them is the things that are the minimalist in layer, they're almost at the atomic level, if not. And this is what is going into the air. It's going into substances that are, for paper. It's going on to products and everything else. But they're getting so tight with the way they're controlling this in the laboratory that you can inhale nanoparticles through your lung membrane, your tissue, and go into your body to fight disease. And so what does that mean in terms of them being able to program microbes and viruses and presumably prions and everything else to go inside the human body and activate this chain reaction? I don't know, but I think they're getting really close, and this is another way to control people or eradicate them one.
Very interesting. And, we're seeing legislation all across the country, here in our state in Pennsylvania, PA SB 217. What this is an act that they want to create any rule or regulation to the contrary of a strong moral or ethical conviction similar to a religious belief may not qualify as an exemption from the immunization requirements of this section. We see legislation like this popping up all over, as well as healthcare professionals and even sometimes employers in other fields being fired for not going along and getting the vaccines. I asked you about it being mandatory already. Is this a backdoor around, making it mandatory? For threatening people's jobs for not complying, threatening to not allow children to enter into schools, and then, turn around and basically get them in trouble for, not being part of the school system, even though they won't let them in?
I believe so, and thank goodness the homeschooling movement in the country is moving up at an astonishing rate. People are starting to take control of their children's lives and protecting their children like they're supposed to. But let's dig in on that a little bit. I'm sure you've seen and heard, maybe even interviewed someone from Technocracy News.
Yeah, Patrick Wood and Debbie Bacigalupi.
Beautiful, beautiful information they're sharing with all of us. And I think Technocracy was actually part of the programming tonight, and that is a great place to start here. I know that they put out an article from Wired that was talking about people needing to use biometrics to get a snack out of the snack machine at work, and them incentivizing people to carry on with a certain level of fitness. And one way or another, they're going to track your data. They're either going to get it on a Fitbit, or they're going to get it through your blood, or they're going to get it through your finger or somewhere else. But inevitably, it's all going into a database somewhere and being sold off for some reason, and it's being used to study everyone else. Now, having dealt with digital marketing, which I think is where really this has exploded and come into the forefront in every other aspect, as they always do, they sell everything as beneficial first, while the nefarious characters and the shady ones behind the curtain are doing their work. And this is the same in marketing. Of course, if you want to buy anything, you can buy it. You can hack it. You can buy somebody's hacking of it. We know there's a company in Israel that you can pay them quite a sum of money to hack any phone in the world. I think it's up in the $600,000 range. But at any rate, that data is all stored. So what are they up to? I know with my wife, she has a typical corporate job. And for our health screening every year, we have to go and get approved and get blood tests done. And it is just an unnerving process for me to have to report to someone about how I'm taking care of myself. Of course, I'm always improving, but, well, I say that now. But at some point, when are they going to hold it against me for something, and who caused that something to happen? Was it me directly, or is it something that I did, or is it something that's been put into my system? It's all forcing us into a matrix, much like I think Wall Street does with financials. And it's very scary, and I wonder if some of the same brilliant minds behind the rise in Wall Street are not behind some of the things going on in Silicon Valley with our data and the healthcare industry.
Interesting connection there, the way you made that. Very, very important as well. Fat finger syndrome might disallow you from the Cheetos in the break room. But sorry.
We've talked, you mentioned a number of illnesses and diseases that are related to vaccinations, from autism to Alzheimer's. What are some of the lesser known things? You know, we hear things like it lowers IQ, it could stunt growth, it can... What are some of the other ways that vaccinations or the additives in vaccinations soft kill or dumb down the population?
Well, I believe that this translates more into some of the fast food that's going on out here, and I think we've seen some evidence that it messes with your or impairs your cognitive ability. Now, I'm certain of that because you get arteriosclerosis inside of your brain, and that essentially is the precursor to a stroke. But it is all inflammation-based. Now, I don't know specifically other diseases, but I do know that there's some interesting research that was done more specifically in Australia in 2016, and they discovered, of course, we talked about that beta amyloid earlier, but that beta amyloid was acting as the body's way of fighting back from some microbe or something else that was in there. And if we look at an example, back in 1911, I believe his name was Alois Alzheimer, who coined the term, noted the similarities between the brains of people with syphilis-induced dementia and those with Alzheimer's. And the information coming down the pipe was, if syphilis festers in the body for more than a decade, under a microscope, it's got a corkscrew-shaped bacterium that causes it and invades and damages the brain and sparks the creation of amyloid plaques, which we see commonly in brain injuries, for football players as well as our Alzheimer's patients, which the symptoms are very much the same. And then you see with herpes simplex encephalitis, a rare complication of the herpes simplex 1, and the virus that causes cold sores can cause brain damage. Tick-borne Lyme disease, that is on the uptick as well, no pun intended. I have a good friend that has it, and boy, has he suffered. And depending on where you live in the country, your doctor might not even acknowledge that Lyme disease exists in that area. And so you can't find relative treatment. And I think one of the nation's premier treatment specialists for it had his license revoked and had to move to another state and gotten a lot of trouble for his work on Lyme disease. And that brings up, Lyme disease is the dirty syringe of nature is what we call it. Where it infects people without them knowing, and if they don't find the bite or find the tick, they may go undetected until it manifests. And this is the perfect thing to study, because Lyme disease is not one bacteria; it's a combination of things. the perfect thing to study in terms of biological warfare. If you want to take a population down, put Lyme disease out there. And I know that's conspiratorial, but why the sudden uptick in it? Up in New York, it's big. Up in the Northeast where you guys are at, it's huge.
Yep.
And we see it out west, of course, as well. And we've seen bubonic plague or the cousin of it out there as well. We saw that, I don't know, maybe a decade ago pop up and cause some problems with people out there. So there are some interesting things. And I know these are being studied in laboratories. I know that they're looking into these, and I know that they're combining them with some of the nanotechnology. So I don't know where this is all going. They always tell you it's for treatment. But when you've got DARPA and the Pentagon and the Defense Department pushing money into Silicon Valley the way they are, looking for ways to stop our foes, inevitably that can end up in the wrong hands. I don't think that they're trying to hurt us, but I think that there's the potential at least for that to end up in the wrong hands and threaten our lives.
Exactly. Well, we'll take a step back here and because we talked about a lot of things. We initially and primarily focused on vaccines and the contaminants in the vaccines and what it's doing to us. And we kind of shotgunned everything. But yeah. So you go ahead.
Where do you want to go from here?
Yeah.
What else would you like to cover tonight?
Because I
think some of the area that I would like our listeners to, or your listeners to look into more and be studious with. The real goal here is to get our conservative friends around the country that listen to your broadcast and many other broadcasts I'm sure they listen to as well to begin to dig in on the technology. Don't turn your eyes away from it because it can be used to improve our lives. But as we know, anything that comes from the divine power above will ultimately be twisted by the powers below, and it will be used to harm people and to deceive people. Now, some listeners, conservatives can span the gamut here. Some may believe in God, some may not. I don't know where everyone stands. However, I do know that at least in conservative circles, there tends to be more of a focus on the Constitution, on liberty, on basic rights, kind of hearkening back to a different time. And right now, the world is moving at such a fast pace with technology and changes, especially in these two areas, when it comes to biology and when it comes to nanoscience. That the military can't even keep up. There's not strategies, but there's lots of new things coming out, lots of new studies, and we've got to get our people to understand the importance of staying in the discussion. Because if you don't, you're going to become irrelevant. Elon Musk said only a few weeks ago, either merge or become irrelevant, and he's not saying disappear off into the woods. I believe we all know what that means. It means that you're not going to be around. Now, I think Alex Jones ad nauseum has covered the internet ghettos in China and the censorship. So at the same time that there is a crisis going on of information and a crisis of the use of technologies, there's a censoring of the discussions among people in the public. And this is the greater danger here. I'm not trying to focus everybody on every scientific detail, but to understand the advances that are being made and stay prompt on it, because they're coming to a community near you, whether you like it or not. And this is, whether we go through the apocalypse here soon or World War III or, the economy breaks down as we all suspect it's going to with this financial catastrophe looming, this is going to press on until Judgment Day or the world ends. I don't know which one's coming first, but at this point, I think I do know which one's coming first, but at this point, people need to stay engaged, and we need to get our conservative community in the sciences and understand that science is a gift, but in the wrong hands, it's terror.
Yeah, indeed.
And what Elon Musk was saying about, having to change, or risk becoming part of the AI, he actually is wanting people to physically merge with these machines. He's saying that's the only option, is to become one with the machine to continue to be relevant, which we all know, at least I believe, that's game over as far as the Bible's concerned.
Sir, how would this all fit in with, for example, the bigger picture of, we'll say, perhaps it doesn't, or we'll say the mark of the beast. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Is this part of it? Or is this just deep for depopulation? Or is it multi-purpose? All of this, the stuff that we're talking about tonight.
Well, I believe it's when we're looking at the Internet of Everything, which is what we're facing, the sensors going around the world and connecting everything, your refrigerator, your coffee maker, your shower, your alarm clock, your clothes, your shoes, your watch, whatever. It connects everything. It's feeding all this data and information, so we become very readable and we become very corrallable. And this system knows where to put us to make us serve our best purpose. Now, you guys are business owners, so you understand the concept of always stick with someone's strengths, not their weaknesses, because you'll peg the meter higher. Don't try to fix weaknesses. I know people want to focus on that because we live in a trophy society, but realistically, we need to keep aces in their places. That's the goal here. And that sounds horrible. It almost sounds Darwinian. But I'm not a Darwinian. but at the point that I'm saying is that I don't understand exactly what the dynamics are of getting rid of the elderly and harming the children, unless they're just great experimental. They're the best part of experimentation because one's on the way out and one just came in. I don't know what the logic behind that would be conspiratorially. But I do know that collecting all this information allows them to guide you into a certain place and then control you from there. And ultimately, they're going to have to do something like this, unfortunately, if we're going to maintain an exponential population growth on this planet, because there are limited resources in terms of space and in terms of food, especially with all the killing off of the biodiversity and everything else that's gone on. And at the same point, they've mined everything else. They have everything they need. I keep saying the word they, and I speak of what's commonly referred to as the elites, but it's just another class of people, not better for sure, but that want the information because they want to play God. That's the bottom line here. And this global computer that they're putting together is going to have an IQ, according to the reports I've heard, of 10,000. Well, the highest we see in a genius is 200. So what does that mean for all of us? Well, that means that you've been mined and they've got everything they need, and you are now, if you don't serve the purpose, if you don't serve the energy footprint under technocracy, then you are irrelevant.
Right.
And the only way to serve it is to plug into it. Now, I've seen, they've even come up with a brain mesh. Now, I don't know how practical this is at this point, but they can pump it into your brain, and you know they have to cut you open, though. They have to drill it on you, which is very invasive. But this actually allows them to read your brain activity. Now people would say, well, okay, they're selling it, at least the idea, as helping enhance you and enhance your performance. So you're bionic, right? So it goes to our soldiers, it goes to our wounded. I mean, this same mesh would be used presumably for cerebrospinal injuries. At any rate, what they're really asking you to do is let me put something in you to study it, because so far all the studies of the brain are not figuring it out. And it doesn't surprise me. It's a brain trying to study a brain. I mean, obviously it's going to be difficult to comprehend, but so they're looking for ways to get more invasive, to understand what's going on in the mind, so they can get out the essential information, stick it in their doomsday vault, and start pressing the buttons, getting rid of people. I just believe that's what's happening. I think that it's written on the wall with the poison in the foods, the poison in the vaccines, and everything else, because these people are exorbitantly rich by any standard. Do they really need any more paper dollars?
No.
That's a good point, yeah. Well, you know what? As we near the... We've only got about 9 minutes left of our program. Our guest is Chris Baucom. He's got he's Remnant Radio, but also... homegrown. Let me make sure I got this right. Homegrown Prepper.
Yeah. RemnantRadioNetwork.com and HomegrownPrepper.com. Yeah.
Let's talk about a little bit about what you're about. Well, we talked about a whole bunch of problems, a whole bunch of issues. What are you doing to prepare for whatever might be coming? And whether you base your preparations on your experiences as a paramedic or whatever it might be. What are you doing?
Overwhelmingly, I'm trying to take on almost every skill under the sun with books and videos and practicing. And I went on a purchasing spree a couple of years ago and started to outfit myself with things that I thought would be essential for my family's survival. Now, understand that I would come home from work in Fort Lauderdale and drive north about an hour and then head west for my locale. And I would watch people. I presume many of these people are international, but many of them are most likely from the state of New York, somewhere in the city area up there. And so there's already an aggressive stance, a hustle from being in that area. I understand that. But the way people acted and the way people drove and the rage on the road, I said to myself, if people act this way when things are normal, how will they act when things aren't? And it began to worry me as I listened to different shows and did my reading and understood that something just didn't feel right inside of me. I just don't know what it was at the time, but something didn't feel right. And I said, you know, I better start getting my family ready. So I took on this idea of building a website and putting information out there. And the intention was to put preparedness information out there. However, when I got tied up with Ross in doing Remnant Radio, it became more of a spiritual journey. And so some of the prepping that I plan on sharing will go up at some point in the near future. I hope before anything happens. So it's helpful to people, but there are tons of sites out there that offer great advice on how to homestead, how to prepare yourself, and how to be ready for, you know, what's coming, the storm. So that's the idea behind the Homegrown Prepper. It's still an experiment, and I'm an enthusiast more than I am an expert.
Interesting characterization. I think that applies to most of us, for sure, which is why we have experts come on and talk to us, as you do as well. In kind of closing, Chris, you're a smart guy. You've been around. You've been around people who have been around. Looking at everything we've talked about, plus things we haven't even talked about, what do you see coming? What do you see coming here in the near term, given the geopolitics of the world today? Domestically,
war, I see a
everything.
Yeah, I see a breakdown in our society coming for sure. When we've got over half the country believing in the Fabian society doctrine of the, you know, 1800s, late 1800s, and carrying this on and not understanding the gravity of what's happening out here, not understanding the Federal Reserve, not understanding the Treasury Department, and understanding the fiat currency and where that came from in Europe and how that's kind of transcended, and not understanding that every fiat currency in the history of mankind has gone to a value of zero, that this is inevitable. $20 trillion in debt, over $100 trillion or more in promised liabilities, and then you've got a world that really is in $2.25 quadrillion dollars in debt. Everybody is printing money, and it is out of control. And somebody, it's going to be a day of reckoning here. And not only that, but we've got a change going on. I'm sure you guys have heard of John Casey, who wrote the book about solar cooling phases and what that means in terms of our planetary movement, volcanics and eruptions and earthquakes and everything else. So there are some geological problems on the horizon as well that spell doom. And now we've got a world that is trembling with war on the forefront. And I don't know if the change in the sun or the change in gravity affects people's water. I'm thinking it does, because it certainly seemed that way on full moon nights as a paramedic. But if these things are all true, and this is all converging at the same time, we're looking at a massive problem, and you better get your family ready. You better get some stored food, some water, some purification, some defense. You better get you a community or a network together and understand how to harvest a crop, harvest seeds. You need to go learn what the Mormons did, basically. There's some books out there that are great on what they did as the pioneers, and understand how to apply that in your life. It's time now, because if you don't now, you're going to have beggars on your doorstep. They're going to be kicking it down. You're going to be under attack. And they're going to get your stuff, and they're going to get you for fighting back. So it's time to wake up. It's time to start preparing. If you haven't, you better kick it in gear.
Absolutely. And that's very, yeah, very well said. Folks, visit the website, Remnant radionetwork.com. There's a news section and a blog there as well. And also homegrownprepper.com. That's homegrownprepper.com. And again, Ross Powell works with you. And he's a friend of Steve's, a guest of our show. Anything upcoming that you want to promote? And
we are working on some fantastic training that we're going to be debuting in September, and so I'm looking forward to that. And we are putting together some videos and other things. I do some videography in my spare time as well, just to make ends meet, I suppose, to help out American Wholesale Survival with Chance Gibson. I'm sure you guys know him.
Sure.
And so we're doing a lot of different work right now. I know that Prepper Camp is coming up in September in North Carolina in the mountains there. That's a beautiful gathering of people that share common interests. And I would say just keep your spiritual path clean. Keep your nose clean. We don't know the day or the hour when our Lord and Savior will return. So we need to be ready, and we need to be ready to live. A lot of people are very prophetic at this point about what's going on, and that is not our job to prophesize. It's our job to live until we die and help spread the word and help get people ready. So that is really the mission of Remnant Radio. That's my mission personally, and I can give you prepping tips as well, but I really want to see you get your spirit in line, because once that's in line, everything else will follow.
Again, exquisitely stated.
And you do a podcast or a show each week, correct?
That's correct. We come on the Global Star Network at 5 p.m. It's Channel 3 on Fridays, but we also debut on Spreaker, iTunes, and YouTube. Usually it's Thursday late evening or Friday morning when that day tunes. It's pre-recorded because I like to edit out all of my improper speech mechanics, but you guys are braver than I am for sure, and I appreciate that about you. This is quite a task, 3 hours almost every night. Wow. I mean, that's mad respect for what you do out here. You're doing great work, guys. But yeah, that is the times it comes out, and we'll continue to push those out as long as people continue to show up at the show. Doing an hour by myself or with Ross alone gets a little harrowing at times. So we need the guests.
Well, I tell you, you know, the 3 hours when we have guests like yourself and, the great guests we have that come on, it makes it that much easier. So thank you.
And John Robertson does a great job as well of fixing us up. But Chris, thank you so much for being a part of our program. And we're, you know, you can certainly pass this interview around. I'll send you the link on this interview after we put it up tomorrow as well.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to talking to you again soon in the future. I wish you the best, and God bless. Stay peaceful and stay safe.
Thanks, and it's kind of interesting. We share the same background as a paramedic, although you should have been doing it in the 70s, Mother Jugs and Speed, if you saw that movie. Never mind. God bless you. All right. Thanks, buddy. See you later. Wow. A great interview.
Yeah, that was Chris Bacum, homegrownprepper.com, remnantradionetwork.com.
Yeah, and the links are in the...
And he partners with Ross Powell, as many of you are familiar with.
But you know, strong on the vaccines, strong on the agenda, and he's got a personal experience with that as well. So, but a tremendous man, and one that we're going to be hearing from again.
Again, check out the latest reports on HagmanReport.com and HomelandSecurityUS.com. Till tomorrow, stay safe. God bless. Have a good evening.